Brisbane Wakes Up with Steph, Abby and Matt on B105.
This podcast contains discussions about domestic violence. If you are affected by this content and need assistance, please call 1-800-RESPECT.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
You've downloaded today's podcast, everyone. Well done. What a fine choice you've made with your life today.
Mm-hmm.
Fine, fine choice.
Oh, I had to do a shout out, but no, I don't. We're saving that, actually. Something special.
Yes. So you may be getting a special shout out. So listen to this podcast every day to find out.
Talking about you. Not you, but you.
Yeah.
What a great coach you have.
Sally Pearson.
Mm. She's lovely.
She's a wonderful woman. So you know what she said? And I didn't know much about her personal life, but I knew about her sporting achievements when we went and did having a feed over there, are you?
It's your turn to talk. I'm listening.
When we were doing our training session there on the Gold Coast, you know, she looks super fit, still super fast, been retired for a while. It's like, where are you off to? She goes, oh, I'm going to pick my kid up from daycare. It's like, oh, are they kindy? She's like, no, she's 7 months. It's like, bloody hell.
Mm.
You've had a baby 7 months ago and you're still quick as lightning.
Mm.
Running around working, she's training people.
I reckon it'd be really hard to be a professional athlete and seeing that go, or just trying to train for fun.
Yeah.
Well, it's like Corey Parker always says that he trains so hard because he's vain.
Yeah,
and he said that's his motivation because he likes having top off.
Yeah.
But do you know what I mean? Like if it's just for fitness, but yet if you're doing running, you still want to try it. You'd be like, oh god, was it Jeff Hugel?
Remember the swimmer that got real big? When he quit?
Yeah. Well, see, it's hard. Swimming, they say, is hard too because there is, you are allowed to carb load massively because they swim every day pretty much. Mm. And then if you're allowed to eat at that rate and then they stop it.
Mm.
Hey, Abby.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
What are you carb loading for over there?
Just for fun.
For Wednesday.
Turkish rissoles with corn salsa.
Mm. Mm. You know what I've been trying lately?
Tell us.
And I haven't convinced myself of it. When I make a burger, sizzle steaks.
Mm.
So like, you know, the really thin steaks that you just do a quick cook of. Because, you know, when you put a thick piece of steak on a burger, it's good to have a big piece of steak, but very annoying to eat.
I don't like a steak on a burger.
See, I don't love it, but I don't mind it as a bit of spice. Yeah, but a sizzle steak, because it's so thin, you can just bite really easy.
That's a minute steak.
Mm. Same thing.
Yeah. So.
We used to go to barbecues and a friend of ours. Matt Slee. He used to like his steak.
Is his name Matt Slee or Matt Slee?
Matt Slee.
Yeah.
But you have to say full name.
Matt Slee.
Matt Slee. Yeah. His brother, John O'Slee.
John Slee. Matt Slee and John Slee.
No, Matt and John. I don't know.
Sue Slee was his mother.
Never thought about it. Anyway.
Stephen Slee.
No, just her name Slee. He used to have blue. Oh, God.
Oh, people who do that, man.
So
weird.
Every time you used to have a barbecue, you should just hot plate.
Yep.
Put on either side, serve it up to him, and he would drink the juices, otherwise the blood. So, yeah, he would always not have fun.
Can that not make you sick?
Cut the horns off, wipe its ass, and put it on a plate. That's what my mate used to say.
Kind of if it's like chicken or...
Nah, you're fine.
But
no. Oh, yeah, you can't have blue chicken. No. If you're eating blue chicken... No.
Chicken breast, medium rare, thank you.
I love going to a good steak restaurant, and when they say any sauce, saying tomato, just to watch the woman freak out about having to talk to the chef about that.
Or even asking for it well done.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I learned never to do that when I was working in the kitchen.
Mm.
They get real pissy, the chefs, don't they?
I said to him, like, he goes, what do you want? And I said, oh, a steak would be lovely. And he goes, how do you want it cooked? And I was like, well done. And he got the fry pan, threw it away and said, nah, make yourself something. I was like, is that for real? And came back and I was like, oh, I'll have whatever you want. He goes, good. Because you can't eat that. But, yeah, they must get so annoyed when people do it.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
In the restaurant.
Yeah. Hard to give them a compliment, though. This steak is medium rare. Well done. What?
Write that down. You don't want to forget that.
How would you like your steak? Well done, but medium rare. But I want it done well.
It was always hard to do give feedback. You had to, like, let's just say if someone said something, oh, like, just so you know, it was, oh, how was your meals? You know, any feedback for the chef? And, yeah, it was a bit overcooked. And you're like, I ain't going to do that because my day is ruined.
Yeah. Oh.
They loved it. Perfect. Well done.
Keep
but
up
then you
the
have
good
to,
work.
You've got the food back in. So if you're taking it back in with food, you'd have like the scraps thing would be right there. So sometimes I'd have to try and sprint to that or put it in a napkin so I could put it in there so the chef wouldn't see because my day was ruined.
What do you do if they want to send it back? So they take one bite and say, no, take the whole thing back and cook it again.
It didn't happen that often, but I did because we used to serve Moreton Bay bugs and people used to say we don't want bugs in it. And the chef used to go off and then talk in One of them was German, and the other one, oh God, I forgot what nationality he was, but they used to, yeah, go off, and I used to just go, oh no. But it was a hard, stressful industry.
Oh, yeah.
So many of them fill up their, like, they'd always have jugs. You know how you get those jugs? And you'd have to fill it up with Coke, and there many of them would fill it up with something else as well.
Lemonade?
No, Fanta. They'd always like Coke and bourbon and stuff like that and just drink it.
Wow.
Throughout.
Yeah, wow.
Mm. And then the other ones were do never touch it because it was like recovering alcoholics. Mm. And it just must be the stress of...
Yeah, it's high stress. And then very unappreciated...
Well, you never see the people, do you?
Yeah. Like no one ever says thank you. It's the only time you ever hear from a customer is when they are complaining, generally.
Tell the chef that was lovely, I'll thank the staff through the little hole if I'm walking out of a place.
We had
Yeah, but you never get the chance to be like, hey, Trent, I just want to let you know that is the greatest steak I've ever eaten, and I appreciate that you've worked 12 hours today for fairly shit money. Thank you so much. That would make them feel better.
We worked at a la-di-da place, so the chef would come out.
Mm.
Oh, really? Yeah. To get compliments?
Yeah, after they do it just to check if everything, not for every like meal.
Yeah.
But if there was a big group and it was, you know.
If you had a good day.
Prince Frederick.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough then. But not.
And felt like going, to be honest, they are paying more to be left alone.
Mm-hmm.
I used to always think.
Yeah, true. Well, let's get into today's podcast. Sally Pearson joins us on the show. An amazing morning spent too with Sue and Lloyd Clark, Hannah Clark's parents.
I don't think I could respect or admire two people more than what I do for them.
Mm.
They're incredible.
Because in the year that is their worst year of their life and will be since the murder of their daughter and their grandchildren, they've channeled it into helping others, and I think that's amazing.
So you'll hear that. They're unbelievable people. It's on the way.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Top brands have lots of copycats. Fake designer items, fake designer goods from China.
It's much like the Star Wars prequels. There's a pretty significant trade war going on at the moment between China and Australia, and that is causing a little bit of a switch around in what normally goes on, because you guys have all been
overseas. Exactly like Star Wars.
Exactly like Star Wars. You guys have all been overseas and seen the cheap knockoffs of Louis Vuitton and Gucci and all that sort of stuff.
Do you know it's such a big thing for those brands that if you are a factory worker in them, you have to sign a confidentiality agreement that you don't take any photos in there? And there was one worker that
got
fired
in the real ones,
the real ones.
Yeah.
Because they quickly will sell it to a different place. They'll do the knockoffs and they'll release them at the same time.
Oh, schematics.
Yeah, but there was one worker that got fired because they were coming out straight away running to a sketch artist and doing it.
Oh,
okay. I saw this and then I saw
that. I remember
really?
It and then selling the sketch.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, but we're all been, I mean,
it's a billion-dollar industry, isn't it, really?
Yeah. I had a lovely Burberry man bag at one point that was 100% fake.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh.
They're hard to get.
Burberry? It's like, yeah. It's nice, isn't it? Just don't look inside it.
I can't tell the difference.
Either can I. I got no idea.
I wouldn't have a clue.
Because normally it is their brands or different brands, but now they're doing it to our brands because they can't get our wine at the moment and because they're not letting any of the boats in and whatnot. They can't get any of the Penfolds. So someone has taken a photo. They were in a shop in China, an Australian over there, and they found some Penfinils.
Now that I would be able to tell the difference.
Penfinils.
And I could taste the difference.
And
don't look at
Benfords.
Me like I couldn't. You get me a Penfolds in here and I'll...
Finally, a taste test we can get behind.
On. See, I'm the when it comes to wine, I'm the classic where it's like, oh, after you have the first glass, it'll just taste the same.
Fine.
Pour it all in together.
Red wine is the only thing I'm snobby about.
Yeah.
What?
Nothing. So I've got... I've got
tasting
some...
friends as well.
Hey, I've got some...
No, you're not.
I am. Acquaintances, you guys are.
Oh, she is a snob. Oh, I only drink my Penfolds. Enjoy your clean skin, acquaintances.
So I'm going to throw some names of rip-offs at you, and I want you to see if you can tell me what the real thing they're knocking off is, the real brand.
No, you've got to be better. I don't know designers.
They're not all designers.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Wine?
This one's a fast food. So I'm just going to pop down for some Burger Madame and Sir.
Burger Madame? Burger King? Is that a really bad...
Burger Madame's?
Is it a mixture of McDonald's and Hungry Jack's? Because in America they call it Burger King.
He's 100% correct.
Oh,
it is Burger King. Burger Madame and Sir.
Burger Madame and Sir.
How can you rip off a cheap burger? And how can it... It's just a little bit cheaper?
The whole place.
Yeah.
They make it look like it. So if you're just like a whitey from Australia and you're trotting through Bali or whatever, and you're like, oh, there's a Burger King, but it's not. It's a Burger Madame, sir.
Exactly.
Burger Madame, but as a scan, you're like, oh, Hungry Jack's.
Yeah. Same logo, different name.
Yeah. Okay.
Welcome to Burger Madame, sir. Can I take your order, please?
Sure.
This one's an easy one for you, but I'll throw it at you. Just to get the ball rolling, I'm going to go grab a Sunbucks coffee.
Starbucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice one.
But while I'm doing that, I'll be wearing my Roybombs.
Roybombs.
Ray-Bans? Ray-Bans?
Ray-Bans, are they? Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, they love a good knockoff of them in Asia, don't they?
Don't they? Roybombs, I'd probably wear more than Ray-Bans. I don't know.
I think it's just as soon as it's the same riding and all that. You go, yeah.
Roybombs, I'm happy to sit on and break. Ray-Bans, not so much because they're expensive.
That's a bad, you know, the guy you were talking about that ran out of the, it was an R. It was definitely an R.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was an A or an O. I only got a brief look at it. I'm pretty sure it was Roybombs.
If you do cursive, you can't really tell.
While I'm wearing my Roybombs and grabbing me a burger and fries from Burger Madame Sir, I might be wearing my Corks.
Crocs.
Oh,
do you have to do rip-offs of Crocs?
What's the age cutoff?
Such a snob.
What's the age cutoff for Crocs?
My my friend's kids are still rocking them. She's embarrassed, but they love them.
So Eden loves them.
So they're 10, but I think then it skips and you can go back and wear them because they're gardening, right? That's what they originally were for.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So if you're 50 years of age or 60 years of age in the garden, totally acceptable.
If you're 23 and going to a nightclub.
No, you wouldn't be able to get in, would you?
Oh, actually, we do have first calls shortly. Mm-hmm. Have you ever jagged a shag in a pair of Crocs?
The backless ones are nice.
Oh, sorry, what did you call them? Corks.
Corks. Corks. Corks. Women fall at your feet.
I like the open back one. Look. It doesn't have the heel.
Up in the air.
Yeah.
Is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's Special Man.
Oh, it's Superman.
Yeah.
Superman.
He's not as good. He's not great.
What are they selling of him?
The toy.
Figurines.
So, yeah, figurine. Can't show you because I'll show you the other. And after I finish my Burger Madame Sir medium family feast, I'm going to wash that all down with a glass of Red Label.
Oh, Red Label Scotch.
Oh, is it Red Label?
Yeah, Johnny Walker Red Label.
Johnny Worker.
He does look like he's off
that's
to work.
That's more working class, isn't it?
Johnny Worker Red Label.
Oh, there we go.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Learning as an adult.
Adult learning programs.
Adult learning styles.
I'm going to tell you what the girls on the team are up to at the moment. Okay. And you're not going to be interested in mine once you hear Nats.
Stav and I are across attention.
No, you wouldn't. You have no idea what Nat's doing. And her partner's paying for it. But anyway, let's get to that. I'm talking about short courses. They're saying that even the universities, they have lost $3.8 billion because they're not having the overseas students come here.
Yeah.
But they're saying there has been a huge increase, not to compensate it, but for local people because no one's taking a gap year because you're not going overseas. Mm. Everyone is so scared about losing their jobs, so they're upskilling with short degrees as well. But it's also with different courses. Mm-hmm. People are at home more, they're not travelling. So everyone's decided to do online degrees or short courses. I'm doing an interior design one.
Yeah.
So it's like 13 modules. Haven't finished the first one yet, but it's very exciting.
I know that musical instrument sales have gone through the roof in the last
13, 10, 60. What little course or little hobby have you just started to pick up?
And your interior design one,
yeah.
Will you be like a Shayna Blaze at the end? Is that what happens?
Please, that Bogan. I'll be better.
Hey guys, you can see this room's been styled
by one of the contestants called her that?
Yeah.
I forgot who it was, Diane or something.
She got real pissy because Shayna Blaze tore her room
apart. That's right, I don't think she is, by the way. I love her. But I just think it would be a good skill to have.
Mm.
Siobhan is doing pottery.
She's doing pottery.
You're doing what?
Yeah, mine's pretty grandma. I'm taking up a pottery course. And guys, it's at night time.
Through the roof at the moment.
Did you sign up for that pre or post getting with your new boyfriend?
Oh, post.
Oh, okay.
So you could do the whole ghost thing together.
Right. No, just people are trying to do different skills. We're extending ourselves.
I thought that might have been like, I broke up with a boyfriend. I'm going to go and do pottery to keep myself busy.
She did other stuff for that.
She did pot with that still.
What are you doing? I'm impressed that your boyfriend's paying for this. I think it's sweet.
I am doing an 8-week pole fitness course.
Oh, cool.
Oh, no.
What?
What?
Not, don't call it
for pole fitness reasons.
We all know. They don't call what it pole it dancing. They call it pole fitness.
It's hard.
It's really hard. It's Remember, Stav paid it out once and they brought in the poles and he was hopeless. I didn't tip him at all.
I don't deny the skill involved and the fitness involved, but you can't be like, my boyfriend signed me up to a pole fitness course.
No, I've been talking about it for a while because I want to work on my upper body strength, and then he just happened to buy me the course for Valentine's
Day. That's great.
Oh, he didn't think to get you Pilates vouchers instead that does the same thing but require you to be less sexual.
Yeah, Pilates doesn't have a pole, so yeah.
Yeah.
My friends have a pole in their bedroom and I've never talked to him about it.
He's a fireman.
Like, no,
why were you
around
in
the
there?
House? Because every time they like give a tour.
Are they the ones with the naked pictures of themselves in the bedroom?
No,
as well?
That's different. But they're coming over to our house on Saturday, and I think she must do pole dancing. But they've got that installed in their bedroom. It's a bedroom.
You should get one for when they come over and go. I saw yours. I really liked it.
You want to get that installed properly?
Yeah. No. It is. Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's braced to the roof.
You have to find the noggins for that one. You can't just be screwing it anyway.
No, it's the roof and the ground. But there's a big bedroom as well. So everyone just walks in and goes, "Oh, lucky you."
You took it up interior design. I started doing singing lessons as well. What have
what
you
are
done?
You doing to improve yourself?
When you found perfection, there's nowhere else to go, guys.
Yep. So same
what
question.
What are you doing?
Nothing.
People are
See, the thing is, I'm quite happy where I am right now.
We're happy as well.
I'm in
we're
a
happy
sweet
now because
I am
we're
so proud
improving
of you
ourselves.
With your singing.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Mm. Oh, sorry, la-di-da. Sorry, guys.
It's actually la-di-da.
That's good. You wouldn't understand. He's done the course.
Yeah, it's all about me.
But 13, 10, 60. What course have you just signed up for? Maybe you've done the one in the past and you go, guys, I've been there. I've done this. You're not going to finish.
Yeah, if there's one that you never used
well,
as well.
Well, the other one I'm going to say
is
the
JP. We did Spanish, and then we didn't do that.
We didn't do the Spanish
No,
one.
We did that for like a week or two.
See.
Did you pay for that?
Yeah.
Because I always find it interesting when people pay for it, and then
I don't think we
paid
for it, did we?
Yeah, babe, it was an app.
Oh, you can download
the
app.
We did that meditation one as well.
Oh, well, I'm still doing that.
Yeah, I've still got my mantra.
No, she said meditating.
Uh-oh. On the estable.
Jack in Yarrabilba, we just want to know, what short course have you done? How useful is it? What did you do?
Hey guys, happy hump day. So I just finished completing a course in phlebotomy, and it's just actually landed me a job, which is now a pretty good career for me. But I've just spoken to Matt, and I'm pretty sure I might actually take up pole dancing classes now.
Well, that's got some phlebotomy in it too.
So how long was the course to do the blood? Donation.
It's drawing blood, isn't it?
Yeah.
So drawing blood. So it took me about 19 weeks. It was a little bit extended just during COVID. So it's a bit staggered with the placement, but it's actually been pretty great.
Do you have to do the course for like the COVID swabs as well? Can you do that now?
Yeah. So it depends on obviously you know which company you decide to go for if you did get a job, but they'll teach you all the COVID everything like that.
Cool. Ooh, see, that's a good skill.
She's a phlebotomist.
Fancy good word name. For vampire. Casey and Alex Hills, what short course have you taken on in the pandemic?
I did pole dancing.
Oh, for the fitness. It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. It you don't feel it at the time because you're having fun, but then the next day you go, oh, I've got a muscle there that I wasn't aware I had.
Yeah.
Now, the producers have given us a note here that says, be prepared to get pole kisses. What's a pole kiss?
So your legs wind up covered in bruises just from where it's conditioning to the pole.
Right. Does it? Because the other thing I think, you know how you spin down at the girls get themselves in a thing and then they spin down? Do you get pole burn as well where your skin catches on it? Or do you oil up the pole or something?
You definitely don't want to moisturize or use oil because then you lose your grip.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I would always say I don't want to hurt myself, so I want to wear leggings, but you can't because the skin on the pole holds better, doesn't it?
Yeah. So the more skin contact, the more grip. Mm-hmm. But you can wear, they've got these tights that they have brought out called, they're called like gecko grip or something. They're designed, but if you're doing, like, the spins and the drops and stuff, it's just going to tear them up anyway.
Right. What's your song, Casey?
My song?
That you dance to on the pole.
They do it in different sections. So you either do the level where you learn the tricks or you do the dance routine.
Right.
Which one did you do?
What song, though?
The first song that I did was Don't Call Me Baby by Madison Avenue.
Oh, classic. Nice. That's a classic.
They do older songs that aren't constantly on the radio so that you're not prone to getting sick of the song and going, oh, this song again.
Yeah, right. Apologies.
Yeah. This one's a dig.
Yeah.
Welcome, Casey, everybody. Thanks for calling.
Have you seen the competitions? They're hectic. No, I haven't. Oh, fit. Jason in Browns Plains, what short course did you do?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Hey, I did a builder's course, which kind of leads me to build houses.
Yeah, right. And you're a plumber, aren't you?
Yeah, but now I run a plumbing company instead because, I don't know, I prefer being happy.
Fair point.
There's
a bumper sticker.
Kofi.
Kofi.
In Paddington?
Hey. Yeah.
What short course are you doing?
I took a archery course.
Oh, that's hot. I like that.
Wow.
What? Oh, sorry.
Why is it like Robin Hood?
Yeah. Isn't it Games of Thrones? Like, you know, just full, I don't know.
And are you sticking with it? How are you doing with it? What do you do with it now?
Yeah, well, I joined the archery club now, so, you know.
Still hot.
I'll be in the Olympics before you know it.
So. Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Go to the archery club.
I mean, go to the archery club and not they got. But you know what I mean. I think of an action movie and.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, you're picturing Kofi there. He's got a six pack. He's an oiled up chest and he pulls an arrow from behind his
Please
back.
Please don't ruin it. I expect the archery club is full of people like that.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
I was going to book you guys on a surfing trip with my husband. I know you never surfed before, but there is a toddler area that I think you guys can learn on.
I've surfed.
When's the last time you surfed, Stav?
Last year around this time.
No, but there's a difference.
Wait, no, we're going to have proof. You took a photo of you with a board on the beach.
Yeah.
And there's a difference
between... We need a video in the water, dude.
Going for a surf and being able to surf. That's like me saying I've skied, but like I was once again in that toddler area with like all the little kids.
Skied too.
You know?
I need proof of you surfing.
Yeah. Why would... It's not something like... It's not a cool lie, you know? Why would I bother?
It's a cool lie. It is a cool lie. That's 100% cool lie. That's like I got this wrestling a bear or saving a toddler from a fire.
Funny you mention, because while I was surfing...
Nah, dude. You're not a surfer.
It's... No one would ever say like... Yeah,
what I'm saying is if I go, I wouldn't have to go into the kiddie area. I could go out the back with the boys.
Yeah, good.
And be the person in the way.
No.
You'd be the guy...
No, never get
punched.
On a guy's wave. That's not... Get off my wave, dude. Yeah.
Who gives
The person who has started the wave, that's who owns it.
Okay. But my husband, remember I was saying that I booked him on a mandate to go and see his friends, and they're all going to go over to Melbourne, and it's this indoor surf place, which looks amazing, and the fake waves.
Yeah.
But it looks like a real beach.
Yeah.
It's insane. I know Kelly Slater started them all over. I don't know if he's responsible for this.
Is it like an epic Wet and Wild, essentially?
Yes, it is. Yeah, down there. I love that one.
But not like, because you told me about it, I thought it was like, you know that stationary wave where they just shoot the water at the curve and you stay in the one spot? No, it's actual like real waves, real barrels. It's amazing.
Yeah, you're thinking of that's the Dream World one where you sit still.
They got one at Wet and Wild too.
Yeah. That's one. This one is like a proper one. It's a perfect wave and you put different sessions, isn't it? So excited, but it's right near the airport in Melbourne. So the guys in SA that were going, the border's shut, and we're like, oh, sorry about it, but Queensland was still open. So he's like, well, it's all still booked, so I can take some friends. So I was going to get you guys to go along with him.
Sweet.
And there is a toddler.
I'd love to surf again.
But now the borders are shut here, so we don't know when they're going to open. He's due to go on the 27th.
They said 2 weeks that Queensland would shut.
Yeah.
And then nothing sucks more than, like, boys' trips are few and far between. So when you get one.
Look, to be honest, there's people waiting to see family members who are dying. And,
well, let's not worry about them. There's a surfing trip that's been cancelled. Everyone's problems are their problems, and they're just as important.
Yeah. But we're waiting for the borders to shut. But I've got a few invites for that weekend. So I thought the borders were still going to be shut, so I've booked everything in.
That's the perfect way to make sure the boys' trip happens.
Yeah, it's on.
Oh, completely.
What did you book?
Yeah.
I got a hairdresser.
Uh-huh.
I booked in a facial.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was going out with the girls.
So you've gone the complete opposite way of a boys' weekend.
No, I just didn't think it was going to happen.
Mm.
She's capitalised on his destroyed soul.
His misery.
Well, I knew because he was going away that if he's not going away, he's free.
Oh, that's partner points at its best, isn't it? Mm. Like when you're totting around all weekend long and he's like, why aren't you home? You're like, well, you weren't going to be, why should I be?
But you booked him the trip.
I want him to go still. I haven't done anything wrong here.
Don't you come home from your boys' trip and think you can relax. I mean, I forced you into it.
I'm not Anastasia, guys. Right. I don't make the choices.
Chicks do that, don't they? Mm. They force you into doing things.
Hey, I almost did something nice for you guys. You guys were going to go surfing as well.
That's been so long.
I want more than anyone else for these borders and all those numbers to drop so that you guys can have a fun little weekend.
Could you imagine if we had gone on that trip with Scott? We came back on Monday and we were like, God, we were so tired from travelling all weekend.
And the late fly on Sunday night. Pull your stuff together, boys. You had fun.
Imagine her.
No. I mean, yes, I can. That's why I would delightfully decline that invitation. I'll get the next one.
No, but in the meantime, if you can go for a surf, send us some videos, we'll put them up.
Don't know if I can back. It's just, you know.
You're so tall.
I can surf. I'll surf.
Can you?
Yeah.
Can you? Mm-hmm. Can you?
I don't know.
I got a photo of a board on the beach.
Who'd you borrow that from?
My mate, who's a surfer.
Oh, was it left over from the Commonwealth Games? You know, where the koala was holding the board?
He was so annoyed because he was sucking in and someone said...
I wasn't even sucking
someone
in.
Someone wrote dad's bod and you're like, that one is not a dad's bod.
That's just a bod.
Everyone
it's a surfing
in.
Bod.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Under 1,200 metre record, Matt Acton.
He was really fast.
13.8 seconds.
I remember it as 13 seconds flat.
It was actually a tied race.
With who?
Josh Brown.
If you're 12 years old
and you want to take on Maddie,
and bring it, losers.
Yeah, Maddie was born to run.
Kids that you're putting down, you're going to meet today. They're the ones that are going to be in front of you finishing before. But Stav and I are going to be there for the 13 minutes for them. 13 seconds,
13
sorry.
Minutes.
And for you, we'll be there for, we'll give you 15 seconds.
Okay, what would be, so my 13.8 was my best time when I was 12. That's what I'm trying to beat today. Like, what would be an impressive number to you guys?
Well, 13.8 all coming first.
Okay, yeah. So that's what you're after? That's fine. Because Sally Pearson, one of the greatest Olympians that this country has seen, hurdling, 100-metre sprints, you're confident, aren't you, Sally? You're my coach and you're confident.
I'm pretty confident. I mean, what I saw, that determination and that drive that we had at that training session was pretty impressive. So I think we can see a winner out of you today.
Sally, would you ever go into a 100-metre race with one 40-minute training session under your belt?
Of course I would, definitely.
Yeah, see, because that's what champions think. They think like winners, don't they, Sally?
You've got to have that belief, that self-belief deep inside that you can do it. Doesn't matter how much training you've had.
Well, I guess because he does have that determination and that ability to just go, I'm going to prove everyone wrong. Mm. But even like his running style, he obviously had a good running style to be able to do that championship back in those days. Has he still got that form?
He certainly got some sort of form, that's for sure.
Well put.
Okay,
well put.
Sally kept saying to me, she said, you just need to run and not try so hard. Because when I raced her, I did that thing that everyone, like every kid does when you think you're about to lose and you lean right back and you shake your head and stuff. Mm. And she was just like, just try less, just keep on running.
You still got to do flat hands, don't you? Are they the fastest rather than fists, obviously?
Nice and loose hands, not so tense. As you said, you can't try so hard towards the end when you're trying to beat the others. You have to just stay as relaxed as possible and just follow your own process. Don't run someone else's race.
Should he shave? Would you recommend shaving?
Well, the lighter the better, for sure.
Yeah.
Have you
whatever you don't need.
Have you met Usain Bolt in your time?
Yes, I have.
Similarities between him and us? None, right?
I wouldn't. Yeah, there's not a lot there, but I mean, the similarity is that you're both going to go run a 100-meter sprint.
That's what I meant.
Wow.
So you're doing what you're saying. So we'll just edit that all out, and we'll say
you're like the same event.
Because he's an extraordinary. He's still got all the records, hasn't he?
And he smokes. Yeah. Remember, he was winning all those gold medals whilst he was on the darts.
No,
I think.
No,
I don't think he.
No, that's the wrong person. That's the swimmer who was having.
If I mix them up. Yeah well, I retract that then because he can sue me for that, so I take that back.
Absolutely.
Now, Coach Sally Pearson, I do have one thing I need to bring up with you before we meet up again today at the actual race, and that is at our training session, you and I, we did some maths and we worked out that your fastest time and my fastest time, the difference was in 19 metres sort of thing. So I had a head start and we had a race. And I didn't realise at the time that you cheated. So I just want to play, because I was like, oh my God, she smashed me. I want to play the audio for anyone who missed this. Sally was behind me. She was allowed to say ready, set, go. Mm-hmm. Have a listen to the footsteps before she says go.
On your marks. Set. Go.
Were you scared I was going to beat you?
No, that was the cameraman's footstep.
Brilliant. Oh, good. Very good.
And what race very did good. You ever run, Sally, where you're like, I'll give you 19 metres head start?
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to be beside you because I wanted to cheer you on.
Oh, right? You're good. You're very good.
Really good, isn't
you're
she?
You're very good, Sally.
She's a great coach. She
yeah,
is.
She really is.
She pumped me up.
I wanted to be supportive.
I'm feeling pumped. We're racing there today at CUSAC. We'll have all the action on the air tomorrow morning. Sally Pearson, looking forward to seeing you out there today.
Thank you very much, guys. Can't wait to watch.
All right. I think that's because she's confident, not because she wants a good laugh.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Hey, Alpha Bucks worth 10 grand tomorrow. It'll be the 18th of Feb. If you get on the air, these are the answers you'll need to win some cash.
Octopus and Owen Wilson. Wow.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
The act of family violence has left three young children dead and a mother after a horrific car fire.
31-year-old Hannah Clark and her three children were ambushed by her estranged husband, Rowan Baxter.
No one could believe that something as tragic as that happened. It's been a year since Hannah lost her lives. She was murdered along with her children, Aaliyah 6, Leanna 4 and Trey 3. Her parents join us in the studio now, Lloyd and Sue. How are you guys coping at the moment?
Oh, a bit sad this morning, actually, because you know how Facebook has your memories come up.
Yeah.
Today was, we all went to SeaWorld today, the whole family, our son and his boys and that too, and it was such a good day. Mm. And as a mum, nothing I like more is family all together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, when that memory came up, I was like, oh, if only we knew then.
It was fun times. It was chaos, absolutely chaos. You know, three kids plus Hannah in the house and just complete chaos.
Can you tell us what Hannah was like?
Bubbly.
She was effervescent, I suppose. Very bubbly, big smile, critical.
You mean she was a CrossFitter and she had high standards? I reckon let's go with that.
Extremely.
You used to go and train with her, which I used to think, well, I don't know how you could do that. She would just be picking on you guys.
Oh, constantly.
Yeah.
What do you call that, Mum?
So each day, I guess, must be different. Some days you probably have good days and some days you have bad days.
Yeah, it's so true. It's just the little things. You know, something will pop up, Facebook or whatever. Mm. That does my head in a bit. I'm glad that they're there, especially the little recordings we found. When we finally got Hannah's phone back from the police, we started going through it, and there was little messages there, videos that Leanna and Aaliyah had done, and they never got sent. They were just in there, this little time capsule, and we opened them up and looked at them. It was sad, but it was wonderful because there's these wonderful messages. Hi, Nini. Hi, Papa. Yeah, love you. And little Aaliyah used to hide under the bed and do a little secret messages, you know, and then run down the hall because Aaliyah was coming, you know. You know, she's talking in the third person. But very special they are.
It was. Lucky Hannah never cleaned anything out of her phone.
Yes, true.
Yes.
There was some stuff in there and I'd be like, seriously, you have kept this?
Wow.
But we're pleased now she did.
Mm.
I guess what's so tragic about this story, and I can't imagine what it must have been like for you on the day, losing a daughter and all those grandchildren, and I think the pouring of hearts out to you from Brisbane and all of Australia was amazing. If you wouldn't mind me asking, what was it like the day you found out?
It was surreal. Because I worked just up the road, we'd heard all the sirens.
Oh, yeah.
And we were sitting there like, wow, well, what's going on today? A lot of sirens. And then I went in for morning tea at 10 o'clock and one of the young dentists was flicking through Facebook and she stopped and she said to me, three kids have been burnt to death in a car at Camp Hill.
Mm.
And I felt sick. And I was like, no, the girls, they'd be at school now. Mm. So I rang Hannah, no answer. And I thought, oh, well, she'd be in the middle of a gym class, so that's okay. I sent her a message. And then the young dentist flicked through again Facebook, and she goes, oh, it was Raven Street. And then I just knew.
You knew.
I knew straight away, and as I looked up, two police detectives walked in. So that confirmed it before they said anything. So it was pretty horrific.
Because Hannah was staying with you guys.
Yep.
Yes.
Because she had left her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's when she, I guess, admitted to you guys that there were some problems. And I know that you have spoken about it, that for her she didn't know if it was domestic or violence because he hadn't physically abused her, but there was a lot of control issues, yes, sexually, financially, in every aspect, I guess, of her life.
And she'd told me a lot over the years, which was very difficult because I wanted to say something or front him, but it just would make matters worse. And right, on the rare occasion when I did say something, she would ring me in tears and I would have to grovel and apologise to make everything okay. So we did know, but our hands were tied.
Because I guess you kind of go, you want your daughter to be happy and you don't want to upset them and you don't want to stop at seeing your grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was so controlling that if Sue did say something, then he would stop the kids from coming over to our place.
Mm.
You know, so you would have the two younger ones usually on the Friday. And he'd go, oh, no, I won't work today. I'll stay home with the children.
Because you've said
just
something
to try
wrong,
and hurt Sue.
Or if Hannah said something wrong, he would punish Hannah through punishing me.
So that's where this controlling factor comes in of coercive control.
Mm.
And that's what our aim now with Small Steps for Hannah is, to help educate the community, because we knew nothing about this. What's coercive control?
Mm.
And then we started learning back on, well, oh, okay, this is the problem.
Yeah.
The general community just doesn't know this repeat behaviour of abuse.
Mm.
And, I mean, this is a man who you trusted into your family. You know, that's an honour that you handed him, and he completely abused that.
Well, it was so different to start with. He seemed like the general nice sort of bloke, and he obviously got into our heads and smoothed us over. And then as the years went on, it just gradually got different. You know, we'd always go for lunches or dinners, early dinners when they first got married. But then he had this controlling factor. He always had to win at anything and everything.
Mm.
Always had to be the one to come out on top. It was more in the latter years, wasn't it?
In the latter years.
Because she had sort of decided no more children. She was getting fitter. Mm. He was getting older. So there was a big age difference there, too.
Was she married when she was 21?
No, she met him when she was 21. 20.
Okay, yeah.
She was 24 when they married.
Yeah.
And pregnant. Mm.
When did she come to you and say, there's a lot of problems, I need to leave?
By about July, the year would be 2019, she came to me that I've got to go. So we started getting the house ready. We got bunk beds in, made sure we had beds and everything for them. There was a lot of clothes at our house because I kept clothes there for the kids. And the weekends would come and she'd say, okay, I'm going to come this weekend. And he would know. And he'd plan a family outing or plan something with other people. So it would be foiled until eventually she was with her best friends at the gym one morning, and it was just the three of them at the gym, and she was saying something he'd done the night before, and the girl said, right, that's it. Let's do it now. We know he's at work. So they went back to her place. She took everything in two garbage bags was all they had for her and three children.
Mm.
Kids were allowed to pick three toys each. They got Aaliyah out of school and just went.
Mm.
It was too dangerous to let him know that they were going.
It was a conversation starter for the nation, I think, and it was a huge focus on domestic violence for quite some time. But then the world sort of shifted and COVID happened. Did you feel like some of the spotlight was taken off the conversation that you guys were trying to start in the honour of your daughter?
Oh, definitely, but it actually probably worked out good for us. Gave us some breathing space. Obviously, after it first happened, we had reporters and everyone knocking on the door wanting to get our story and talk to us. It was just too hard to talk, and we just needed our own time.
Mm.
So when COVID hit, it was a pity that the summit that they had, that sort of got forgotten.
Mm.
But then they've brought that back after the elections, that they're going to do something about it. As for us, it was a healing process. Mm. Off we'd go every morning for 2 to 3 hour walks with our dogs up the bush. We're lucky enough that we got White Hill Reserve just behind us. So
you can get lost in that place.
Yeah, 15-minute walk from home up to there and then wander.
Mm.
And just beautiful.
Honestly, I admire you guys so much because your grief has been channeled into making changes for families no matter how hard you find it. And I think that's something that was instilled in, I guess, Hannah in her final moments, the instructions that she gave to the people that pulled her out of the car.
Yeah.
Well, I guess was to fight for justice.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Yes. She didn't know he was dead at that stage, so she wanted to make sure he was going to pay.
Yeah, right.
And I guess that's setting up small steps for Hannah has been to educate people to make the changes.
It's sort of like a twofold thing. We want to try and educate people, help out the community, and also fundraise. So we're a non-for-profit organisation that, once we make some decent sort of money, we want to then channel that into other DV organisations who are helping survivors of DV. Our main goal is coercive control. Mm-hmm. We want to see that legislated.
Is it overseas?
Yes.
Yes. In some places there is, isn't there?
Yes, yeah. Yep. The UK and Scotland.
Mm. Yeah. So I guess in Australia we've just got this outdated thing that unless it's physical, then it's not. But the amount of people and the amount of people that would be listening right now that feel like they are completely trapped and controlled.
Yes.
And with this day and age, you can track people and it's...
Other countries are trying to get on board as well. I believe America's starting to look at it as well. Queensland government want to do it right. And hopefully we'll see something within 4 years.
What about your son, Nathaniel? It made me really sad that, and I know that they had come together recently, but he said that he sort of lost contact with her. And do you reckon it was as a control of him sort of taking Hannah away from you guys?
Very much so. Mm. Hannah and Nat were very close. Rudely close.
They weren't siblings and fight like they should.
Oh, they did, and they criticised.
Okay, yeah.
But if they were sitting at a table and there's a big group of people, they would tend to sit next to each other and hold their own little conversation and have their own little jokes and things like that, almost to the point of being rude, and they didn't realise they were doing it.
Yeah.
Do you think you will, this might be something part of the foundation, you'll start to go into schools and things like that and hold talks? Because I know as a father of boys, I would love to see you up speaking to teenage boys and educating them as early as possible to understand what could happen if they make the wrong choices.
Funny you should say that. No. We did a pilot last year.
Yeah.
My friend Carolyn Robinson and I, she's runs Beyond DV, and we did a mother-daughter talk last year just as a pilot to see how it would go.
Yeah.
This year we're wanting to get into schools and do a lot more mother-daughter talks, and also we want to do a few father and son talks as well.
Yeah, great.
Because it was something that one of Hannah's best friends said at her memorial, which always stayed with me, is that, like, her little boys become angry men.
Mm.
Yep. Do you know?
Yes.
Yep. And they weren't born with that.
Oh, no.
But it's that education and that taking care of, you know, that men aren't evil. There are people that have hurt, I guess, and, you know, terribleness in their heart that commit those crimes.
Mm.
Scotland. So what they've done is, with their coercive control, is also made women and girls the same as men. They're saying that statistics is only like 5% of women that will do coercive control, because it's more in men's nature to be controlling, to have the funds to do or whatever. You know, they are a controlling beast where women have always been conformists. And you go back to the old days, your mum and dad, when they got married, what were their vows? To honour and obey the husband. So what they've done is made women and girls respectful.
Right.
Same equality. And isn't that what we're all about?
Yeah.
You know, women and men, we're equal.
Mm.
It's not back into the archaic days. And I would have thought these days we were past that.
Mm.
We're more educated. But it seems like young kids of today have got this thing, maybe it's too much internet that they watch. They think they can treat people differently, and especially women. They treat them with no respect. And I think that's where one of our main aims is to make sure that all relationships are good relationships. Because what happens is once they get that control, it then makes it hard for that person to get away, because there's a lot of humiliation that comes with it. And that's was a problem with Hannah.
Well, smallstepsforhannah.com.au, that is the website. We'll put all the links up on our social media.
Yeah, we want to
put it out everywhere. We cannot thank you enough for coming in and spending the morning with us this morning. We really appreciate it. We know it would be very hard to speak of. You can tell the minute you both walked into the room, you could feel a very special energy, I think.
Thank you.
Between you and I think from what's happened, there's going to be lives saved, and I think that's what's going to be amazing about this charity.
I hope so. And also, can we announce that the beautiful Abby is going to be one of our ambassadors for Small Steps?
Yes, we can.
Yes, there we go.
And also Petro.
Seven a seva.
That's right. I'm the one going to be doing all the MC work, so I said I need to practice that. Oh, but no. Being in the Camp Hill community, I'm so amazed at what you guys are doing, so it's an honour to be a part of it and help out wherever we can, and also as a station as well, because it's a worthwhile charity. And
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. And if anyone would like to donate to the charity you've set up, smallstepsforhannah.com.au, you can also check out your Instagram page. Sue and Lloyd Clark, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you, guys.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Social media.
As you know, social media and mainly TikTok. At the moment, it's popping off, guys.
When you say mainly, like, I think this is cute, but I heard people talking in the kitchen the other day, right? And they were like, is anyone on TikTok? They're like, nah, it's for young kids, and it was 3 years ago. And I was like, oh, 3 years is a bit harsh.
No, TikTok.
I said, no, Maddie Acton's on it. And everyone just stopped and looked, and I walked away.
Well, laugh as you may, I am loving TikTok at the moment, because the difference between TikTok and Instagram and Facebook, as TikTok is actually where the fun's happening at the moment. Facebook is for the angry old people. Instagram is for the girls in their bikinis and the creeps.
But you can do the reels. I like the reels on Instagram. No, yeah, that's not what it's about, sorry.
Well, no, reels, a lot of people do share their TikToks and reels together.
That's how people are getting their numbers, by sharing it on Instagram. You don't do your TikToks without sharing it on Instagram.
Absolutely. You've got to double down, baby.
That's on it.
I'm just saying, but TikTok is fun. I did the feta pasta TikTok recipe last night. Amazing. Absolutely delicious. Tomatoes, cherry tomatoes were sold out in Woolworths, and feta was sold out in Aldi, so I had to go to two shops to get the opposites to make
it. There's a part of me that thinks you're getting, like, checks sent from China and you're a spokesperson for TikTok, because that's where the company is.
Still wonderful government. Wonderful government. I'm sending them bottles of Penfolds. But one thing I put on my TikTok, at Matty Acton, if you want to get in there and have some fun with me, guys, get amongst to it.
If you want to support him, sponsor him,
chuck me a follow.
Yep.
Always open for collabs too, if you're keen.
Yes.
I did some laundry the other day. And usually, Esther and I, we hang up our own clothes, because I'm particular about how I like my stuff in my wardrobe. She's the same, because we only have a tiny wardrobe. So I wanted extra brownie points, and I thought, I'm going to hang up her stuff for her and see if I can get it right. So she never wears button-up shirts.
Right.
Like, she's always in a dress.
They're easier, especially when she works from home. Like, you've got to iron them, and they're just that extra effort.
Hassle.
She had something with buttons. And when I had the coat hanger in my mouth, threw the blouse or whatever it was over it, and then went to button it up, and I freaked out because the buttons were on the opposite side of that shirt. So I went and found everything in her closet that had buttons, everything in mine, and guys and girls have buttons on the opposite sides of their clothes.
So what do I have? Is this the girl side?
Yes. You're on the girl side. And I thought, is that so when a guy and a girl face each other, it's easier for each of us to unbutton each other's shirt?
Well, it's not, because no person can get it right.
Well, now you just
no person. How many are you sampling here?
Each day.
Scotty can't.
Just think, come on.
And the comments on my TikTok at Maddie Acton, hit me up, blew up. 450 people in there with all different sorts of reasons as to why. Mm. And Tabitha has called from Burpengary. She saw this. Tabitha, you think you know the exact reason. It's not so we can unbutton easily in the heat of the moment.
Well, I did some research. I don't know if it's 100% the exact reason, but there's a couple of different theories. So the first one is that back in ye olde times, men would put all their weapons underneath their clothes on their left side, so they had to make sure the buttons were on the right, on the correct side, so that they could easily access their weapons.
I am going to kill you, but first I must unbutton.
Well, so it wouldn't be an obstruction.
Right,
And then the opposite for women, for because they always had babies in their left hands for breastfeeding.
Right, there you go.
The other theory is that back again in ye olde times, the really well-to-do women had other women who would dress them.
Right.
And so it was, the buttons were on the correct side for the woman who was doing the dressing.
That makes sense.
Rather than the person being dressed. Mm.
Well, you know, Zips you, have, are the you same. Have to check with a fashion designer. There's local ones here. Why don't you check with one of them and find out why it is?
Oh, Tabitha's already
filled
it. Oh,
no, Tabitha is. She's nailed it. But she's 100%.
I just did some Googling to look at why. But
But yeah, you're right, Stav. Zips, everyone was telling me, are the same. Zippers are on the opposite side.
You mean zipper is just a zipper?
No, I would have thought so.
Oh, you mean the flap?
The flap.
Yeah. No, they only zip up
no
and down.
No wonder people are getting the zipper rule wrong in Queensland. My God, on the roads, which one are we?
But on a jacket, yeah, where you feed in, you know, you got to feed one side into the other. Mm. So I checked that. That was true. My mind blew. It was all I could think about for the entire day. And I even went to Esther. Because she has hung up my clothes before. I was like, did you know this? Yeah. She was like, nah, show me. Yeah.
Stand in front of me. Watch this.
Each other?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so confused.
Why are you wearing a cutlass?
So there you go. Go home today, compare you and your partner's clothes, and you'll notice buttons are on the opposite side.
And more important, if you want to do an extra plug, when's your next TikTok video going up?
I'm working on one at the moment that involves my wife and the cat.
Okay.
So I might try and get that up this afternoon.
He's trying anything for the likes.
Yeah.
Animals, wives.
But it's me still being Esther.
It's like, we miss daddy. Yeah. Always on TikTok these days.
Eden did ask me the other day, why do you have mummy's hair in your cupboard?
Mm.
And that's because I have a wig that I pretend to be Esther in. And she's like, why have you... I said, don't say that at kindy. Daddy's got mummy's hair in the cupboard. It'll sound a bit strange.
Hence how you know how women's clothes do up now too.
Uh-huh. Good point.
Thank you for your help, Tabitha.
No worries.
Good on you.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
But as we do at the end of every show, we're now going to take a moment to reflect.
It's all about the hustle in my household at the moment. You got to have a side hustle, right? And I was talking about with Scotty. I was like, you know, get a side hustle. What do you want to do? You know, make some money. And I was including the kids because Finney likes it. And he goes to me, I want to do a side hustle. I said, good, Finney. If anyone is going to do it, you're going to do it. You know how he loves a bit of an entrepreneur. Goes downstairs, comes back up and goes, I need a bit of a better setup. I need a gaming chair. And I need to have three screens.
Three. Yeah.
And I went, what? Here's my side hustle. I'm going to be the new Fresh. It's like, I don't know who Fresh is. Not interested in. He goes, number one Fortnite player in the world. He's an Australian.
Yeah.
Millions of dollars each year.
Yep.
At what point do I go, you know, you're kind of like, you're not going to do it because he's not going to make it. But there's this still part going, should I not stop everything now and just support his gaming?
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Yes, I reckon.
That's the thing. Everyone will judge people. Like,
you judge them until they make that.
That's exactly
Fresh
right.
Fresh is a very nice young boy, can I be honest?
Mm-hmm.
I looked him up. He's very lovely.
Fresh will have his scandal in the future, but that's what happens for every millionaire when they're a kid.
He grew up in Durack, I think it was.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Is he still there?
No.
Barton now?
No.
Don't ruin my autobiography.
Thanks, but no thanks.
So Xander likes going along to the bakery as a little afternoon treat sometimes. You know, sometimes him and I will go to the bakery, get a little cupcake. We sit on the little... You know, in the middle of shopping centres, they've just got like that one sort of bar bench chair, whatever. And so all the strangers have to sort of sit on it together. You sit back to back or whatever. The other day, I was lined up at the bakery and I was like, quick, go sit down before someone else sits there. And he just sort of do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And I look back and I'm like, quick, sit down! So I could see another family coming. And as I said to him, sit down, mate, sit down. I want to say thanks, but no thanks. To the father of the other children who ran for it. Because you knew my 6-year-old was do, 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 and then you sprinted and took up the whole chair.
But you would have done the same with yours.
Completely.
I absolutely would have done that, yes.
And it's annoying when someone
But it's more annoying when someone beats you to it.
You can see my poor little innocent son.
But he didn't even do the fast walk where he pretended that he didn't even see me. Like, he fully ran and sat down and looked at me like, ha-ha, suck it, fatty. So thanks. But no thanks.
But he could run faster than you.
Yeah. He's coming today.
No, that's not supportive. No, no, no. I'm getting out of the way. I'm going to cheer, mate. I am going to. I've got your back. Because that's...
With a knife in hand.
It's got to happen, people. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. There has to be an across-the-board, all-standard system. Because how many times... No one uses cash anymore. How many times you go into a bakery or a shop and they go, just tap it there, and you tap the screen.
Yes!
And they go, no, 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 behind the screen.
Yes.
And then you think, okay, I've got this. You go into the next shop. You go, all right, tap there. You tap behind the screen. They go, no, on the screen.
Or they go, oh, this one's insert.
Or it's on the side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All should be the same across the board.
I agree.
Yeah.
You should be the face of that.
The face tap, of that campaign. Stab my forehead.
Yeah.
Ruby C stabs forehead. That's where you tap. Yeah.
Just go around to all the ATMs and just put some stickers on there.
Wherever it should be. I like that.
Hey, that's true. Good point.
They're annoying. Well, you know what I hate is when they don't let you see the screen. You're like, hey, how do I know you haven't whacked a couple of extra dollars on that? I want to check that you're not ripping me off.
Who's doing that?
Happen to you a lot?
We know when they hold it out, like, so they, if it is at the back, they don't hold it so it's your way to see it. They just hold it out for you to tap the spot.
Is that at your bakery?
No, I want to double check that.
Yeah, that might be.
Well, you'd be the face of that. We'll find something for you to be the face of later.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
All right, thanks, but no thanks.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
There you go. That's the podcast, guys. Have a great one. See you tomorrow. Stav,
Abby and Matt. Brisbane wakes up with Stav, Abby and Matt on B105.